We rise. Grace and peace from God our Father, and all joy to you in the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death forever and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. We hear the word of God as we continue considering Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. May be seated. This is the word of the Lord. We now implore God, the Holy Ghost, for the true faith which we need the most. Lord, have mercy. Amen. In Jesus' name, who is, who was, and who is to come, our Savior, in flesh and in glory, dear fellow sinners, declared righteous in him. When working at most jobs, you begin to learn who you like and who you don't like. You begin to learn how to avoid the people you don't like and how to rub elbows with the people you have to like. In the end, it often becomes about just getting your job done and doing it in a way that you can continue to progress and advance. Survival of the fittest. This is not the church. The church is not a bunch of cubicles where individuals stay to themselves, only concerned about getting their task done. The church is the body of Christ. We read in verse 12, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are members of Christ, many, yet one. How often do we begin to think and act like that business world? We forget that the church is not a business. It's not an individual. It's not just me. And it's not me. We read in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It would be easy to think that just because I'm not a council member or a voting member or even a communicant member, that I'm really not needed in the church. Our sinful flesh will always be thinking such things. Things like, I'm less important so someone else can do it. Or that's someone else's responsibility. So sometimes we even think, since I'm the only one doing it, I must be the one that's most important. This is the thinking of a cubicle world. How ridiculous for one part of your body to think just because it doesn't have the same function as another part, it's less important. We're not working in cubicles. We read in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? If the CLC were just pastors, or if Ascension Lutheran Church was just the council, we'd have big problems. It would be like your body being able to speak but not being able to hear or walk. There's no such thing as being more or less important, only different. In fact, we shouldn't even think of the church in terms of external membership at all. We shouldn't see voting members, communicant members, baptized members. Having your name appear on the annual report today does not make you a member of Christ. We read in verse 13, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. All ages, man or woman, grown up or child, upper class, middle class, lower class, member of the council, member of Ascension Lutheran Church or not, what joins you to Christ is the work of the Spirit. It can't be seen with our eyes at all. It's the greatest spiritual gift God has ever given. And yes, you little children are part of this. The littlest children in the pews or in your families, are part of this. You've been baptized into Christ. Your parents don't bring you to church just because they couldn't find a babysitter. They bring you here because you too are part of this, joined to Jesus. I'm sure children can relate to being thirsty. What do you do when you're really thirsty? That's right, you ask your mom or your dad for something to drink. Now, if your mom gave you a sugary soda drink all the time, do you think your body would feel good? Big and small alike, we come to church because we need something very important for us, for the whole body. We need to drink of that one Spirit. The world teaches us to think as individuals, to live on sugar drinks, to think that's my toy or that's their responsibility. These sins parch our throats. We thirst for righteousness, and there's only one source to quench it. Jesus said, whoever drinks of this earthly water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Through baptism, your sins have been taken away, detached, buried. This washing of rebirth has cut off your sinful flesh as you drowned it every day with repentance. You've left the world itself to be a member of Christ and members of each other, to struggle through this sinful world not alone, but together. We face weakness. We face anger, discontent, lust, a lack of ability to stand up for what is good. We face dark and hidden secrets that we don't want to tell anyone about. Sins that you'd rather keep to yourselves. But Christ did not die so you would face these things alone. He joined you to the fellowship of the saints, to his own body, to receive his righteousness and conquer sin in him. Together we gather in this body today. We are joined in one fellowship which receives the forgiveness of sins. As Paul writes, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So as we look around today, let's not see strangers or just another cubicle next to us. Let's see Jesus. See us joined together. Verse 26. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Raise your hand if you're able to, if you've been sick in the last month or so. Or if you've had some kind of an injury. We're getting pretty close to everybody now. And when your body gets a nasty cold, do you hear your head saying, "Boy, I'm glad that's not me"? Rather, it's often your head that suffers as much as anything else in your body when you get a cold. So also our head, who is Christ, was not immune to the sufferings that you experience. Isaiah writes that he has borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows. Jesus took your pain. Now, a cold lasts how long? A few weeks? A really bad cold, several weeks. Even your permanent ailments like diabetes or whatever it might be are truly not really permanent. They're only part of a temporary world. However, the pain that Jesus bore was eternal. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Jesus suffered with us, and he suffered for us. Our guilt has been taken away, and we've been joined together. You know how one little infection in your body, if left untreated, can make your whole body die. Your body doesn't ignore these things. It fights them off. And is it the more visible parts, your arms or your legs, that are busy fighting off colds? No, it's the unseen members. As Paul says, the unpresentable parts are those we think are weaker, our internals, are those at work to fight off diseases. There are Christians among us, unbeknown to all of us, who are praying for you, who go unseen, who are ready to cook a meal or send a get-well card, who are ready to share these sufferings, not just physical issues, but the sufferings of our soul. We read in verse 25 that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should all have the same care for one another. To have any divisions or small cliques or individuals among us is to divide the body of Christ. We can't survive if we're not together in this. Imagine if Christ had come into this world saying, "That's his problem." When one member falls into trouble, we all fall into trouble. When one member sins, we all sin. There should be no schism. And likewise, as he goes on, "Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And so we gather to rejoice, not to sorrow. We rejoice in this greatest gift. When you receive good news, you don't hang one shoulder down low while the rest of you jumps up for excitement. You jump up with both arms. Your whole body is happy. Maybe you're not the type to jump and leap for joy. And yet, it affects your whole body and your whole attitude. So also, we, being joined to Christ, don't rejoice apart from each other. We receive the forgiveness of sins and we sing the praises we sing here in joyful unity, unity of teaching, unity of faith. There can be differences. There can be different talents, interests, or callings. Not everyone has the same gifts. That's true. In fact, many of the gifts mentioned in the following verses, verses 28 through 31, don't even exist among us anymore. They served their purpose. The apostles have done their work recording the scriptures so that we too can hear the word of God. No longer do we expect speaking in tongues or great healings, which at the time of Paul were witnessing to the resurrection of Christ before the recorded scriptures were given to the church. We have a much greater gift in the word which is confirmed. Because the goal of all of these miracles and appointments was the same goal that Christ was anointed for and chosen for, to preach the gospel. That was the one single thing Jesus was anointed for, to suffer and die and declare your sins forgiven in his resurrection. So everything else that the Spirit does among us should be focusing us all on that one central purpose. Verse 18, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And so we've reached that time of the year, which fits very well with this text. We're ready to elect church officers, and as the ladies already have. It'd be easy for us to slip into thinking of this only in a political way, as winners and losers, voted in, voted out. Yet, the idea that we're competing or even making these choices at all is really foolish. God has appointed, verse 28. It is God's work to fit us together the way he wants us fit together. To use the gifts he's given us in the way that he would choose to use them. So even if you volunteer to clean the church or to be a member of the church council, you should still think of it in terms of God's appointment, God's calling, and God's work. And these gifts don't necessarily come to us overnight, and we're not necessarily born with them. I didn't enter into seminary with a gown on. It took 3 years of study and training, and will take many more for me to continue to grow into this calling. Nor does a newly converted Christian possess all the answers of Scripture. Only one source can give us these gifts and cause us to grow into them. Paul writes in Galatians, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Pray for the Spirit. Study the Word that God would give you these gifts. They come only by the hearing of faith, the believing of God's Word. None of us are sufficient. None of us are sufficient to do any of this work. But in Christ, joined to him, we are. And so as Paul ends this section, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet next Sunday he will show us a more excellent way. We haven't even gotten to the greatest of all gifts, which chapter 13 speaks from start to finish, love. All of these appointments and work we do are worthless if we don't have love. This is what we pursue. Not the cubicles of the world, but knocking down walls so we can see each other. Let us continue to move in step with our Savior, that we would recognize also, though we are many individuals, we are one, members of Christ. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.